Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of my blessed beloveds out there in the international world. It is a glorious humpity hump day. Got through another week of interesting things, as usual. Wanted to remind you that today's show is with my friend Ellen, who is the proprietor of Girls at Work, Inc. So we're going to listen to her inspiring story and how she inspires other girls to build up some self-confidence, not only emotionally, mentally, but also physically. So that's really super exciting, and she'll be on in a few moments. If you have any questions or you just want to call in, the number here is 347-205-9443. We'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, hang out in the chat room. I'm there today looking for you, and ask your questions. Great stuff. Great show. It is getting ready to snow here in the seacoast. We have a nor'easter coming that time of year. Can you believe it? I'm ready to move to a tropical island somewhere and eat lots of coconuts and hang out with some monkeys and be barefoot and play in the water. I'm not a snow fan at all. I've done it for 20 winters, and hopefully this will be my last one. Otherwise, the week's been crazy, trying to, you know, settle in after the storm, Sandy storm. So for my New York friends and New Jersey friends and family, I know that they're slowly getting power back up. And
they're still about a million, I think, without power. It was up to 6 million at the height of the storm.
Yep.
But there's still quite a few people without power, and they're trying to salvage what they have.
And those of you who were requested to be evacuated because of the nor'easter that's coming in, please heed the warnings. Let's, you know, play it smart instead of being stubborn. I know people are kind of tired and cranky and cold and hungry and want hot showers, but unfortunately, the nor'easter that is pretty typical to this time of year is coming in, so you know, go and deal with the evacuation pieces that are being recommended, and let's make the most out of it. And for those of you who are on my Facebook, facebook.com/celiacroads, I've been reposting a lot in regards to gluten-free care packages for those of us who have eating disorders or dis-ease, as we call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so definitely go on and check that out. So
and remember, the best way to support things like this is through the Red Cross.
Yep.
They get the things to them that they need, the water, the food, shelter, clothing. You know, so find out what they're taking, clothing donations. I know I've been just going through all my closets, and anything I don't need, I'm just getting rid of and donating, because there's people that need it.
There's a lot of different organizations that are really supporting that. So, you know, power to the people. We all love each other. We all go through things, and it is what it is, and let's just make the most out of it. And now that election season's over, we can really focus on what's real in this world, and what's real in this world is really us and being a community and being united and, you know, supporting each other.
Even though New York, you don't know, you know, we're still a community. We're still, and, you know, have the same goal in life, and
absolutely,
you know, and the feelings that you get from being charitable, and you know, can make you happy.
Yeah, and if you have
the natural endorphins.
If you have any questions on happiness, make sure that you go back to last week's show and review the notes, because there were a few challenges, and we've had a few people man up talking about their experience. So that's good. And anyway, it's been a crazy week for me, as usual, but it's wonderful and blissful, and we now get to welcome South Africa as part of our listening base, which is very, very cool. There's a possibility, there was an invitation sent in regards to me speaking in South Africa at a youth group in next summer. So we'll see how that goes. That'll
be
really exciting.
Fun.
Yeah.
African safari time.
Love it. Love my world, love my people, and I think you're all beautiful, and I'm so grateful that you share every Wednesday with us. So thank you. And Miss Amy's got some exciting news.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my grandson to arrive any moment. So if I drop the phone suddenly and run, you'll know where I'm headed.
That's right. That's right. She's dilating and going through that whole process.
I'm on call, actually. So.
So we will have little baby toes very soon, maybe a week, maybe less, maybe a minute, an hour. Who knows? You know, it's all depending on Tanner. And
Tanner will come when he's ready.
That's right. I know mine shot out like a rocket. So welcome to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
And I'm Amy.
And we're going to have Elaine come on. She's out there somewhere. Hello, hello, hello. Elaine?
Hello.
How are you, my friend?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, I'm super thrilled because I love what you do and how you inspire the girls. So I really want to get you chatting about that. But do tell me, are you having snow on your side of the state?
No, not as we speak. I mean, it's the threat is there. The clouds are in and things are pretty raw. But the firewood is stacked and I'm ready for it.
All right. Well, good. I know I have some friends in Springfield that are just starting to feel the actual snow, aside from the bitter cold that we're getting. So it's coming. Lucky us.
The timing's just awful. I feel for the folks in New Jersey and New York.
Amen to that. So who are you? What do you do? And let's start there. I'm privileged to have met you a few times, so.
Well,
I know,
thank you.
I know, but...
You know the story.
I do.
Well, I don't.
I am. Hello, Amy. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
Again, thanks for having me on. I'm Elaine, and I direct a very cool nonprofit called Girls at Work, and we're a pretty unique program. We focus on girls at risk, girls that have been neglected and abandoned and even abused. And we figure out how to build them up through showing them how to carefully use power tools. We go all over New England. We set up a shop on site. A number of years ago, I built a barn on the property to house the program, but we quickly outgrew that. And when transportation became an issue, we sort of jumped that hurdle and went on the road. So we travel all over New England, as I said, and we set up a shop on site, and we teach girls how to build any number of projects. And it's an incredibly powerful experience for these kids.
So talk to our audience about your motivation behind this.
Well, but we just had a fundraising event on Saturday, and it was great because I got to share that story with our supporters, and it was just a treat to have so many folks support us, because I mean this was a dream that started 27 years ago. I had taken in a neighbor who had parents that were addicts, and I tried to get her into a summer camp very early on, and I couldn't afford it because at the time as a general contractor I was really struggling myself financially. And so I had gone to a Girl Scout office, and I said, you know, I'd really like to get this little girl into summer camp, and is there anything I could possibly do to make that happen? And so I'd given him my business card, and the director said, sure, come on out to camp and teach the girls how to build. And I said, all right, I can do that. I mean, as a contractor, you know, you often deal with kids because kids come home from school, you're working on a renovation, and they'll run in and say, what are you doing? And I'll say, well, what are you doing? And I always had extra little tool belts in the truck, and I'd always put them to work, and they were crazy about it. I mean, they were just, kids love to build, you know, whether it's with tools or, you know, anything. I mean, the kids create. I mean, that's just what they do. And so I went to camp and spent a week, first time I'd ever been to camp. And and that was the spark that sort of fueled this bonfire that's taken off. I discovered there was a real need for girls to be empowered. And then I bounced around to different camps in between jobs, and then I realized there was so much more going on here, and I really needed to do something about it. And that's when I got a team of friends together and a bunch of little neighborhood girls, and they came up with the name Girls at Work, and we started this nonprofit about 12 years ago now.
Wow, that's awesome. So you're helping them gain self-esteem and learn a trade. What an awesome idea.
Well, and it, you know, a lot of people say that. It's like, oh, they're learning a trade. And it's, you know, for me, that's so secondary. That's so,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's certainly in that equation. But a couple of years ago, we hired an external evaluator that helped us with data, to get some data
mm-hmm.
to show the impact. And the New Hampshire Women's Fund supported that partnership. And it was so interesting because this woman, she pretty much opened my eyes to the fact that this is such an important mission, because you're helping girls through the use of power tools. You're helping them discover their inner power tools,
mm-hmm,
helping them discover that they're strong and they're capable and they're smart and they're all these things that they just never knew, because no one really took the time to show them.
Right.
So give us one of your most compelling aha moments in this 27-year journey of teaching and empowering our young girls. Did you have one particular or a handful of particular girls that just was so compelling that helped really motivate and charge you to do more?
Did you say one, or did you say 1,000? I missed that.
No, one or many. I mean, I know you do. I know you do it in group settings. So
there are so many stories. It's unbelievable. There's a few that surface often, I guess to back up a little bit, the girls that we work with are so abandoned on so many levels. And, you know, we work with social service agencies, and we partner along with them as they've already got the girls, and we just sort of dovetail nicely. And one of the stories that really resonates with me in terms of exposing people to what exists out there in these girls' lives is, we had a little girl one time at a camp in Maine, and at lunchtime, if there's a birthday, they'll make a big deal out of it, and the kitchen staff would get together and do this pots and pans parade, and you know, they'd have a cake at the end of the line, and they'd put it in front of this little camper, and they'd sing happy birthday. And this little girl that had turned 8 was sitting there and had no idea what was going on, and they put the cake in front of her, and she just had this huge meltdown and ran out of the dining hall. And
aww.
I've never done well with kids in tears, so I steered clear of it. And later on, I found out that this little 8-year-old girl had no idea why there was a cake on fire, because no one in 8 years of her little life had ever taken the time to celebrate her birth.
Oh, that's
amazing. I mean, you know, you can't make this stuff up. In the stories that are, you know, I have little girls that can't even make eye contact. They're so detached and withdrawn, and they're so scared. You know, when you take a power tool and you turn it on and you show them how it's used, and then you put it in their hands. I mean, a power tool to a little girl says no on every level. It says man, and it says strong, and it says big. Excuse me, and it says capable. And so now you take that tool and you put it in this little girl's hands that feels defeated and neglected and abandoned and alone, and you show her what kind of potential is in there, and it's just a power tool, right? But it's almost like all that tool represents is sort of like, now it's entering into this little girl's mind, like, wait a minute, I used a power tool?
Right.
I mean, it's just really a powerful medium with kids at risk.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and I absolutely love your program for that. I think it really, women, girls, normally, customarily, we're not taught to play cars or build forts. I grew up with boys, so I have more scars on my knees than I... I was a tomboy chasing snakes and frogs.
Yeah, but you're proud of those scars. You're
absolutely
proud of those scars.
Like, yeah, that was the pine tree.
But, check this one out.
Exactly. But for the most part, you know, we're not taught to be self-sufficient that way. We were raised to be more of the cooking and nurturing, compassionate, cleaning
mm-hmm.
types. So you must have had some sort of shock. I mean, especially if you started this 27 years ago, the world's mm-hmm. changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But there must have been a little bit of kind of pushback when you first started the program. Well, I was trying to be nice because I know some of the stories personally, because we've talked about this personally, but
a little bit. I grew up in a house with five brothers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know, Dad was a doctor and Mom tried to take care of all of us. I mean, that was, you know, pushback is kind of my middle name. And so, I mean, you know, I mean, I don't come across like I have a really thick skin, but my first construction site that I got onto when I was, you know, in my early 20s, there was 500 men and me.
Yeah.
I mean, I
love that.
I guess everything sort of happens for a reason because, you know, I look at all the sexual harassment I dealt with and all the BS that surfaced because I was a girl on a job site and no one would teach me. And I thought, well, this really kind of stinks because, like, why? Because I'm a girl? Like, who cares? I mean, I played football with the best of them. I can hold my own. And no, I'm kind of little, but I got a big attitude. And so I think about it and I think, you know, these kids have so much potential, you know,
yeah.
and it's not about whether we can cook or clean or any of that stuff, because you know what? We can do everything. And,
mm-hmm.
and it's really important to expose them early on because you know, when they get to a certain age where, you know, there's a struggle between somebody that's working with them that's a male and they're a female. And, I mean, you think this little girl that's been building since she was 6 or 7 is gonna tolerate a reduction in pay because she's female? I mean, good luck
right.
with that.
Right.
Like, why does any of that stuff exist? I mean, we're all in it together, and I think, you know, there was a public radio had a program on one morning, and there was a caller. It was about women and men on a construction site, and why should women make the same money? And I thought, well, why not? And a caller called in, and he said, there's no way women should make as much money because I was a roofer when I was in college, and I would carry 2 bundles of shingles up onto the roof, and there's no woman out there that could do it. He just went on, and I thought, dear God. So I called in, and it took 33 minutes to take my call, thank God, because I needed to cool down. But I called, and I said, I got to tell you, it was the New Hampshire Commission on the Status of Women. I said, I got to tell you, I got to refer to this caller 33 minutes ago because we just did a roof in Bedford, New Hampshire, and it was 40 squares, which means it was 120 bundles of shingles, and a bundle of shingles weighs 80 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Who in their right mind would carry 2 bundles on their shoulder up a ladder? I mean, who would do that? And I said, and they said, well, how do you get your bundles onto the roof? I said, I have a boom truck lower them onto the roof. I said, it has nothing to do with working harder. It has to do with working smarter. I mean, you know, this gender issue that continues to surface is why?
It's ego.
I mean,
that's all it is.
Ego
and
fear.
It is ego, but we all have an ego. And I think, you know, I just watched this campaign last night. $6 billion went into this campaign, and I thought, can you imagine how wonderful life would be if that money went into the nonprofit sector?
Amen.
$1 billion.
Well, imagine the $6 million of birthday cakes that we could do for all of the children
six
America that are starving and, yeah.
Or living on the streets. Do you know that 1 out of 45 kids are homeless, and that
yep.
and that 60.6% of our youth between the ages of 12 and 17 are dependent upon drugs, and then 65% of prisoners are addicts. So if you take these little kids that have such horrible internal scars and such struggle with feeling defeated and abandoned and alone, and you think of what they're doing to numb that pain. And then you look down the road, where do you think they're headed? Where
mm-hmm.
do you think they're headed? We've got to disrupt this downward spiral. I don't care if it's with power tools or if it's with dancing or if it's with singing
mm-hmm.
or if it's with sports. Stop cutting what's saving these kids. You're cutting all these things out of the schools. Why?
My
Charter
daughter only takes
brilliant,
one
brilliant.
Semester of gym now. Physical education.
See?
One semester in a year. That's all they get now
look
in middle school.
Look, we're going to partner with charter schools. We just did a build with them, and it's brilliant. At charter schools, if I were a kid in school, I struggled throughout school, and I would have soared in a charter
school.
I wish
it was more
but
around
we just
here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this area is horrible with
it is. Charter schools.
Yeah, that's why
oh,
we are
brilliant.
Looking at Florida.
But we just did a check out Bus 52. We just did an interview. This group of 20-year-olds got together, converted a school bus, traveled the entire U.S., hit every single state, and interviewed one nonprofit per state, and they chose us for New Hampshire. And it is such a cool project. It is such a cool project because it's exposing the world to what's happening and how you can help.
So how can we help you? Why don't you give us your website?
Our website is www.girlswork.org. We also have a Facebook page, Girls at Work, Inc. We've got a Twitter account. We've got a phenomenal web guy that is just, he's got it going on for us, thank God. We love Rob. but do you know who Catherine Switzer is?
Sounds familiar, but I know a lot of people.
She was the first woman that ran the Boston Marathon in 67, and she does public speaking now. She's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard her speak. The New Hampshire Women's Fund had this wonderful luncheon, and she was a speaker, and she said, and this line is so incredibly important for everyone, she said, never, ever underestimate what the smallest contribution can do to make change.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And our program, I mean, for $25, you've just provided a young girl at risk who has so many struggles with an experience that might get her to think differently about herself, that might get her to start believing that she is capable and she is strong and she's not all those things she's been told for so long. We can make a difference.
That's great. And it takes all of us to do even a little bit and make ripples. I love Mother Teresa's quote. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to do anything huge. You just need to throw a rock on the water and make some ripples. And I'm all about everybody holding hands and making ripples.
Right.
I mean, if we could get 1,000 people to make some ripples in one area, whoo, Lord.
Yeah.
Just the amazing stuff
accomplish. But I think so often people get overwhelmed and they think, oh, my God, I'm so overwhelmed. There's nothing I can do. There's so much you can do. There's so much. You know, there's the Circle program that has a fabulous mentorship component. There's Big Brothers. There's Big Sisters. There's so many, or Child and Family Services, pick one. Find something that resonates with you. You know, write that $25 check and trust that that's making a difference because it is. We're going to have, we're putting up gift cards this year. We're going to do $50 and $100 cards so that you can make a donation in someone's honor and you can give a gift that matters. I mean, you know, we spend so much money as consumers on stuff. I mean, spend money on things that matter.
I'm all about spending money on experience. Spending money on experience versus.
I have my
things.
Kids give up a gift or two or whatever monetary amount to work with a charity every year.
See, that's what matters. That's the kind of shopping you want to be doing. You want to make
a
difference.
Amen.
Yeah, I do the plant a tree one, the Christmas ornament. So a tree gets planted and we do an exchange ornament. Now it's funny because my mother doesn't want anything else because they're different every year, and they're pewter. So she knows that a tree is getting planted, and we put an ornament on her tree, and now she's collecting them all.
That's great.
But I work with Girl Scouts as well, and this sounds like something I'd like to work with. But I've been in Girl Scouts for like 20 years, but now where are you located? Where is, I heard you say it was New Hampshire, but is there a specific area that you are or?
Well, we're actually in a little town called New Boston in New Hampshire, and that's where I live, and that's where I built the barn. But as I said, we go all over, and we just said, we've worked with tons of Girl Scout groups and Girl Scout camps, and so there's no limit. Recently, actually, we've been getting calls from, we just got an email from, where was that? Idaho.
Very cool.
And then we got one from, Portland, Oregon, and we got one from New Orleans. And we're getting all these emails. Are you really the only program that teaches girls how to build in the U.S.? And I don't know the answer to that because I've not taken the time to look. But I know in New Hampshire, I don't think there's anyone else doing it. But
I've never heard of anyone doing it but you.
Well, because who's crazy enough to do this? apparently I am.
Passionate enough, not crazy.
Yeah.
Passionate. It's
great
work.
But think about it. Like, we had a friend of mine, Chris Conroy, has a video company, Heartwood Media, and they did a beautiful video for us a couple years ago. And, you know, he walked around and he said, I don't know how you do this. And I said, I don't do anything. That's the beauty of it. I walk around all day long after I've done the demonstrations, and I keep them all safe. And we have, you know, our volunteers are working with us. We keep an eye on them to keep them safe. They use a sliding compound chop saw, like a miter saw, like a real big, a regular job site tool. But we're holding their stock. So their two hands are on the handle. So there's no way they could possibly get hurt. So I said to Chris, I said, Chris, but look at how awesome this is. All I do all day long is say, geez, I don't know, figure it out. And I said, so by saying that, you kind of level the playing field, right? Because they're not angry that you didn't give them the answer. They're hearing that you don't know. And so they're so consumed by what they're doing, they don't think, why didn't you give me the answer? They go back and they figure it out. And they figure everything out, and they get so fired up about what they did because they did it. They don't remember our name. They don't remember the name of the tools. They don't remember the name of the program. They remember nothing except the experience that happened for them and that they rock. And that's what matters. That's what you want to give these kids.
Now I want to dig a little bit deeper with you because I know that some people are going, oh, the girls are just building little birdhouses. What are the girls actually? You, and I'm challenging you purposefully because I know you can take it. So
you know,
give us an example of some of the things that these girls have come up with because it's been pretty spectacular.
It, you know what? Challenge away. I have a big grin on my face right now.
I know.
So doesn't she?
We can do, and it's awesome. It's
you
such
see
a
us
trip
because
it's like, I know, it's, I know. What do they build? I mean, you know, what don't they build? We started last week when we did this Bus 52 build. It was just total trip, and the woman filming it said, I've never been so excited to film in my life. And I thought, well, kids and power tools, right? Especially girls and power tools. Last week we built these little shaker pegboards. It takes about an hour. They use an electric palm sander, a drill press, a branding iron, a hammer, and a cordless screw gun.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the smallest, very smallest project we do. We do birdhouses. Sure, we do birdhouses, the cutest birdhouses you'll ever see. But we also do entire sheds. I mean, we'll do an entire shed. It was so cool because we did a shed this past summer at this Camp Spaulding, a Child and Family Services camp, and we do it in stages. So we break it down. The first group will do the deck, and the next group will do the walls, and then a group will do the roof. And I just showed a picture of the shed Saturday, and I said, you know, I said, I got to show you a picture of the shed because I want to tell you what's behind the shed. And the first group of girls that started this shed, it was a Monday morning, 11 girls, 10, 11, 12, walking down the hill. I'm set up on an archery field. All the equipment and materials are on site. And I've got, out of 11 girls, I've got four that are stepping up to the plate and seven that are just consumed by attitudes. And I said, you know what? I said, that's cool. I said, let's just get you guys aside. I said, you can just watch for now. When you get to a point where you're ready to jump in, you know, we'll have you. But if your head's not in a good place, I can't have you using power tools.
Right.
So I took four little girls over, and we set the footings, and we leveled everything out. And I showed them how to use all these different tools. And so when they were done, I said, okay, let's go suit up. So we walked to the truck, and they all put a tool belt on. Well, let me tell you something. When a little girl puts a power tool on, you got to stand back. There's some crazy stuff that happens. So now I've got four girls with power tools and screw guns, and they're ready to rock and roll. And so now, one at a time, I've got my little attitudes that are sitting off to the side, stepping up saying, okay, we're ready. Okay, we're ready. So by lunchtime, now this deck, framing the floor and setting all the plywood down, everything gets screwed together with screw guns. This should have taken the entire day. At lunchtime, they were done. And all 11 of them had worked on it. And I said, we got to sit down and talk about what just happened. And this one little kid says, see, you guys, I told you we probably screwed up. And I said, hang on, hold on to that attitude. I said, let's get it out of the equation because it hasn't been here all morning. We put it off to the side, remember? And I told them they had to leave their attitudes aside to build. So we sit down and I said, okay, we got to talk about what just happened. And I said, you know, seven of you sat here and you were beaten down by your attitudes. And I said, but you saw those power tools and you thought, I'm going to win this one. I'm going to step up and see what I can do. And I said, and what you just finished, that job you just finished should have taken the entire day. And I said, let me tell you something else. I said, when you want to know if you've built something that's square, that's perfectly square, you measure corner to corner. And I said, and those dimensions are perfect. I said, you know why? Because you put it aside. You put all that stuff aside that you struggle with, and you figured out that you're capable and that you're strong and that you're smart and that you're all those things you didn't know you were. And these kids floated to the dining hall. And so many of them were headed home that afternoon because they were in so much trouble because they'd been so difficult. Well, if you've got all that you're struggling with as a little kid, you've got some pretty heavy armor on to protect that little mm-hmm. kid inside that's so scared and so alone. But once you get through that armor, there's so much going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's
oh, yeah.
so much potential.
Absolutely. Very cool.
So, yeah,
and they learn to work together as a team, too.
Oh,
so
my God. They love each other.
You are listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
And I'm Amy.
Call in and chit-chat with my buddy Elaine in regards to Girls at Work, Inc. Very cool program. The number here is 347-205-9443. And very cool stuff. So not only analytical skills, critical skills, critical thinking, problem-solving, emotional challenge, because they're emotionally being challenged to succeed. They want it. They taste it. They can smell it. They can feel it. You're encouraging them. But you're also leaving them a little bit of a memory, planting a little seed. My favorite thing to do, as everybody knows, planting a little seed of encouragement. You must sleep really well at night.
You know, some nights I sleep really well, and some nights I can't sleep at all because the stories are just... We had a group of girls one summer, and out of 9 girls, they had finished a different shed the year before, and out of 9 girls, we had finished early, and I said, what do you want to do? Let's do some camp games. And they said, no, we just want to talk. And I said, all right. And so they took their tool belts off, and we sat down and talked, and they talked, and I listened, and I was so, so blown away. Out of 9 girls in that group, one of them had a parent in her life. And the one that had a parent in her life for 2 months prior to camp had been living in her mother's car with her mother because the boyfriend kicked him out. You know, they talked about how in a perfect world camp would be year-round because they talked about how, you know, we always think kids go to camp and, you know, it's because they love it and, you know, it's fun and it's games and it's this and it's that. These kids that we work with go to camp for very different reasons. They go to camp because there's 3 meals a day. They talk about how mm-hmm. they love camp because they get to have 3 meals a day. They're safe at night. Nobody's sneaking in on them. And there's no fighting, and there's no abuse, and there's none of this stuff that they struggle with so often.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really interesting to hear the perspective of these kids in the trenches because, yeah, some nights I sleep like a baby, and some nights I can't sleep. I can't even find my way home because I'm so distraught. My cage is so rattled, but I've figured out how to turn that around and let it fire me up. And it fires mm-hmm. me up, and I'm ready to go. And I have a brand new board of directors that are phenomenal, and we've got a consultant that just helped us with a brand new strategic planning session that we fine-tuned. And we're hitting it. We're moving forward, and we are going to grow this program because there's a tremendous need out there for kids to feel good about themselves. They need a break from feeling great. They need a break from feeling like failures. You got to disrupt that downward spiral. I don't want to build
Amen.
Any more prisons.
Right.
Absolutely. So I unfortunately missed the party on Saturday night. My daughter had strep throat. So tell us a little bit about the auction that you hold every year that I do love going to and spend too much money, which is probably... another reason why.
Take all the money you saved.
All the money I saved, right? No, that'll come
yeah,
right. through the gift cards.
Well,
but
it was so overwhelming this year because, you know, it's our third event. And mm-hmm. in our first one, we had about 100 folks. And our second, we doubled the numbers. And this year, God, we had to have between 300 and 400 people that packed the museum and the Mill Yard in Manchester. And I tell you, the energy was just off the charts. I mean, people. There's so many good people out there, and when you get them all together in a room, there's such energy and there's such.
Yes.
It's unbelievable how. I mean, just talking about it, I just got so blown away by the amount of people there that were supporting us, and you know, we had a silent auction, and we have a bunch of raffles, and everything is donated, and the common man. I mean, I couldn't love them more. They support us every year. Diane's been
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Yeah.
And we have just so many folks that support us. And we had a committee this year that we hadn't had in the past, and that was really cool to work with the committee. And just before, about a half hour before the event was scheduled to start, I got the volunteers together, and I sat them down to kind of do an overall, you know, here's the plan. And, God, there had to be 30 people in that room. And I thought,
yeah.
it's so overwhelming to think that, you know, this little dream of mine of, oh my God, girls feel so good about themselves when they can build something. Like, this was a dream 27 years ago, and now it's a real tangible program, and it's making a tremendous difference in the lives of kids that feel so lousy about themselves. And it's just such a powerful experience to see all that in one big room and know that there are people supporting us and that there are people that care about these girls enough to, mm-hmm. to invest in this program and make a difference for these kids.
And it's so unique, too. Again, you know, we're not traditionally taught
right.
that skill set. So you've hit this unique, multi-layered, multifaceted way of planting seeds and kids who super, super need it. And having gone to your auctions before, it's just wonderful. It's absolutely overwhelming feeling as the outsider. I can only imagine, even after 27 years, watching your little baby grow, how much joy just fills you. And you've always been so humble about it. So,
well, the journey also shows them proof mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. like you said, this little dream that you had, and look at what it's turned into. That yeah. alone can inspire them to know that when you put your mind to something that you want, you can achieve anything.
Yep. Oh,
and I'm really glad that they're. I'm hoping to hear more expansion with this program. It's very, like Rusty said, unique, and I think it is fabulous. I'd love to work with you with Girl Scouts because I have, I work with them. And I was actually thinking about working on workshops that build self-esteem and things like that because the age I work with is ages from like 11 to 14. And that's when all of the real negative stuff comes into their mindset. And this would be a great program for mm-hmm. them to experience. And they actually achieve. They look what I built, mm-hmm. you know. That just I would love to see that someday. That would be great.
They're so blown away when they stand back and look at what they've built. And this little girl, I can remember Erica, she had, many years ago, we had done a whole bunch of picnic tables with a huge group of kids. And when they first sit on the picnic table, it's such a trip. Because this little kid said, "You guys, we just built this. You can find these at a store." And they all chime in, you know, and I just watch and I think, oh, my God, is there anything better than seeing a little kid so incredibly proud of themselves? And people say, you use power tools with kids. What? And I say, you know what? We raised the bar so high. I pushed these kids hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, we pushed them hard. And you know what happens is they go after it. They want that. And they mm-hmm. and they want to be challenged. And they need to be challenged. And when they're done, I kid you not, they're not as tall as they were when they walked in because they are bigger and badder and they are ready. And mm-hmm. you know, I just think of the amount of programming that we could have out there for these kids, and mm-hmm. how, you know, for the last few years, so many nonprofits have closed their doors, and I think, God, you can't, like, you just can't close those doors.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember a moment with the girls with cooking, and the parents were nervous about us using knives, and mm-hmm. I had them all bring vegetables from home, whatever they wanted to bring. And they're like, "You're going to make vegetable soup with these kids, and they're going to eat it." I said, "Yeah, they will." The parents are like, "Yeah, right. Yeah, right." Well, they did it all. I just supervised. I just told them what to do, but I didn't cut
That's
anything.
Awesome.
I didn't do anything. That's they cool. did it all. And they ate every single drop of that soup. And the parents were emailing me for recipes because now they wanted to make their family soup. And it was so amazing to me.
It's soup. Right, and it's soup, right? Or it's a picnic yep. table.
But
right?
they
or,
made
or,
it. They made it. That's why they ate
made,
it.
That's it. They made it. They made it. I mean, and it's soup, right? But now they're like, "I made soup." You know what I mean? It's like
yep.
if they can do it, if they can have that experience, if you give them that experience, that's when all that growth occurs. That's when yep. they start believing that, hey, I really can do this.
Yeah,
and
now
and
all they want to do is cook.
See? Right.
Yep.
So now put some power tools in their hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, but we want to put some real power tools in those girls' hands.
You said you wanted your roof done. That's great.
Yeah. Come on over.
We did a roof one time, and I had a bunch of girls. I had a bunch of girls that had gone through the program. I had hired them outside. They were older. They were like late teens. And I said, mm-hmm. Hey, I said, if you guys are interested, it was just a one story. Well, the guy that delivered the shingles, he ran into the back of my truck because he couldn't believe he looked up and it was all girls on a roof.
Oh, do you have a picture?
That's great.
No. The good thing there's no damage to the truck, I can tell you that much.
That's
He's
awesome.
Like, I'm sorry, I just looked up and it was all girls. He had a hard time saying
he couldn't even enunciate it.
He couldn't even get it out.
Yeah, men get a little tongue-tied with powerful women in front of them.
That's right. So
yes,
what
they
is
do.
The youngest that you work with? How old? What is your age range?
Well, we start at 6, and we have been known to have a couple sneak in that are, you know, 2 or 3 because their mom or their dad is the camp director, and they're hanging mm-hmm. out at camp, and they come down and say, can I build? I mean, what are we going to say, no? I mean, they require a little more work. We have a one-on-one with them. But, you know, what's really cool is we'll take a little girl that has built, and we'll partner them up. And so now this little girl is going to show this little 2 or 3-year-old, and it's such a trip. And we actually went to a nursing home one time, and there were homeschool girls that would go to this nursing home once a month, and mm-hmm. they would work with the residents in this arts and crafts arena. And so we showed up, and we showed them how to build this little shaker pegboard, and mm-hmm. then they wheeled in the residents, and the girls taught the residents. It was
Sweet.
Unbelievable.
Oh,
it was unbelievable. We had a 92-year-old woman that was hadn't spoken in months, and the little girl had the staff person wheel her over to me because they're all in wheelchairs, and she said, "I just got to show you what I just taught her." She was out of her head. She was 7, and so they kind of leaned down, and I'm chatting. This woman's got her nails all done up and her hair's all done up, and she's covered in sawdust, right?
That's great.
I'm like, check you out. You are a builder. I said, you have a whole new career, although you might not want to start working again. But, you know, the potential's there. So I'm babbling because I do. And I said, so what do you think? And the staff person says, oh, she doesn't talk. And I said, okay, but I can talk to her. She's in there. And so I said, come on. I said, you know you want to say something. I said, what do you think? You just built a pegboard. And all of a sudden you hear her say, she doesn't even look at anybody. She just says, beautiful. I'm like, don't tell me she's not in there. I mean, you know, and she was 92. So it doesn't matter mm-hmm. how old you are. We have classes for women once a month, and women come in and they're petrified. Girls come in and they don't know to be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very cool. So give a shout out to your website again.
Our website is girlswork.org. Our Facebook is Girls at Work, Inc. I put the Inc. in there. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And we have a Twitter account. We have a LinkedIn account. I forgot that one. See, we're so tech savvy now because of our web guy.
I know you've come up in the world.
Yeah, he's trying to keep me in line with, you know, it's hard keeping up, I tell you. But yeah, we have a LinkedIn page, we have a Facebook page, a Twitter account, and our website. That's fabulous. And thanks to Rob, he's just a great guy. He's got a little girl that's 9, so he totally understands the mission.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Are you still doing birthday parties?
We are doing birthday parties, and I had a group not too long ago because we started an after-school program this spring, which was a huge success, so we're kind of taking off with that right now. But we do birthday parties, and one of the girls I was working with, we had them for 2 different days, and so the first day they built these little stools, and then the second day, they were about 10 or 11, and then the second day they were doing a box with a custom lid. They could design their own lids that was hinged. It was really cute. And the first thing they said to me the second day when they first got there, they came flying out of their room where they have their little snack. And then instead of even saying hello, they said, is today really the last day we're building with you?
Oh.
And I said, okay, let's just focus on the fact that we have another day to build. I said, let's just look at the positive of it all. And it was really cute because they said, well, because as the parents picked them up, some of the kids were at risk, some were not. And as the parents were picking them up, they said, okay, so what can we do now? Because all they want to do is build. And I said, well, we offer birthday parties. And one of the girls said, you can't call them birthday parties. And I said, well, okay, well, what are we going to call them? And she said, you need to call them power parties.
sweet.
Aww.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love that.
Isn't that
great.
The cutest
power
thing
parties.
Ever?
Ooh,
power
ooh.
Parties.
That's
yeah,
great.
We have power parties.
Well,
because,
we
I mean,
have
they,
a power
you know,
party
when they're
up
done.
Here.
Absolutely, our girls would
yeah,
love
because
it.
Because
yeah.
they feel so powerful when they're done. And sure, okay, we're calling them power parties.
I love it.
I put birthday in parentheses. And all that stuff's on our website, all our different. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start doing some, we ran a pilot program for a corporate build. So we took, we actually went to the New Hampshire Food Bank and we took their staff of 24 and we divided them into teams. We had four teams of six, and each team built a picnic table. And it was men and women, and all the same, logistically, the same exact program as we do with little girls. Because so many people haven't used power tools.
Right.
And included, and mm-hmm. and it was really cool because we've been trying to come up with ideas to generate revenue in terms of you know so we could subsidize mm-hmm. nonprofit groups, and so corporate building is sort of another avenue we're exploring because you know now we can expose our program to the business world and the market's going to bear a better price tag than the nonprofit world, so then we can generate some revenue to set aside to scholarship. Or, mm-hmm. or to subsidize the cost to our nonprofits. So, and it's all the same end result. It's like you've got, you know, 60-year-old guys that are like giddy because they just built. I mean, it's just a trip. When you first show somebody how to use power tools safely, it's just, it's great for everybody. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just, it's empowering to everybody, every age. I mean, think about the first power tool you used, right? You can probably still remember how you felt. So now take that feeling and give it to a little girl who's been abandoned.
Wow, that's awesome. I know, have you ever worked with Habitat for Humanity?
I have. I'm not a huge fan of Habitat because I think a lot of the building ends up more media focused. I mean, they do mm-hmm. some wonderful projects, but they focus more on the... They have a tendency every now and then to kind of miss the boat on the need. And I go to New Orleans in the winter, and I build with volunteers, and I try to find organizations that are more grassroots and more less about the PR and more about the person.
Right.
But, I mean, I have worked on Habitat sites, and there's some incredible Habitat projects out there, and there's some all-women groups out there. And, I mean, Habitat's done some phenomenal work, but there's a lot of
right, but there needs to be more programs like yours and, like, hooking up with, you know, all these natural disasters. I just got to brainstorm, but, you know, if – you know, that you could work, you know, put more out there, not because you can't be everywhere, but it'd be nice to see it expand into other areas where places like, well, we just had the storm and stuff, people, you know, could help each other through this crisis.
Isn't it interesting, right, and isn't it interesting that, I mean, as sad or as difficult as it is to see the devastation after a storm, there's some real beauty in there because if you look at the end result, like after the aftermath of a storm,
mm-hmm,
everybody
mm-hmm.
puts their differences aside and they
yes.
all help each other. And they all
Absolutely.
Help each other. And there's so much in that everyone benefits from. You know what I mean? It's like when I go to New Orleans and I work with volunteers, to teach them how to help those still in need, they're leaving with a feeling of empowerment. They learned
yes.
how to use power tools, some of them for the first time. They helped someone in need. I mean, there's mm-hmm. there's so much to volunteering, and when you get on a volunteer site, if it's well run, unbelievable what happens. People, I hear from people all over the country still
mm-hmm.
from
mm-hmm.
people that I've taught doctors how to build. I mean, it's just common sense to me. It's not rocket science, but no one's really taken the time to show them.
Right.
So once you do, it's even doctors are empowered. We had a class of attorneys one night, women attorneys. And I thought, oh, they're not going to need this, right? They're already empowered. They're attorneys. Holy cow. They just wanted cigars and beer when they were done. But it was awesome because you know, they were just as empowered. And I don't
right.
have beer or cigars in the program, just a note.
Just a side note.
Side note.
And BYOB.
Yeah, the board will appreciate that. They'll say, Elaine?
It just slipped out, man. So, oh, good gravy. So very cool. So to wrap up the last couple of minutes, give us an idea of what your most inspirational message through all of this, through this radio show, you know, what do you really want to leave as your last word for over 60-some-odd thousand viewers now?
I think it's probably what Catherine said. Don't ever, ever underestimate what the smallest contribution can do to make change. I mean, you know, I think about, you know, if you, and Sunday night I asked if, you know, who had children or who had little people in their life. And then I said, think about everything you provide for those kids. You know, whether it's a warm bed or it's, you know, new jammies or it's apple picking or it's, I mean, the millions of things you give to little kids that are in your life. And then I think, now strip all that away and tell me what you think is left. I mean, there's a really scared little kid inside there that doesn't deserve that sort of a life. And you know, you can argue they're not our kids, but why would you? You know what I mean? Like, why would you argue that? Why wouldn't you not make an effort? Because what if that were your little kid? You know,
right.
What if that were you that were the addict that never got your life together because you went through that cycle? I mean, we can make a difference. We make a difference every day. And I just, if people can stop and think, you know what, these kids need you. These kids need you, whether it's through our organization, through Child and Family Services, through Circle Program, any number of programs out there where if you take the time to spend it with these little kids, I can guarantee you that's the best return on any investment out there.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. And that actually fits perfectly with my audience base because we are international. So that rule of thumb applies on an international level. If you plant positive, productive seeds in children, they will be positive, productive community players. I cannot stress that enough on almost every show. That's a huge belief. And in highlighting the world as a whole, we all have something going on, and we all have orphans, and we all have, you know, adversity. So just even if it's 1 hour a week or a month, reaching out to some of these kids to just donate an hour of smile and reading time and toe tickling and making puppets or, you know, using a chainsaw or whatever. I mean, it just...
Using that creative self. Yeah.
Absolutely empowering and impactful, and it will really make a huge, huge global change. So give us your website one more time before I have to let you go.
It's www.girlswork.org. And our Facebook is Girls at Work, Inc. And our LinkedIn is the same as is our Twitter account.
Oh, great. Very cool. So I am so grateful that you spent some time with us today to talk about your program because I've met some of the girls. I've seen you grow. I've seen what you do. And I just, kudos to you and high five. Good job, girlfriend.
Yeah. And I'll be in touch.
For it. let's be in touch. Oh, yeah. Thanks so much for having me on because it's programs like this. It's people like you that help us get the word out that are also making a huge difference. Thanks
That's
for doing
what we're
do.
Trying to do.
Just a farmer planting
so
seeds. All right, my
Keep
dear. Thank you. Thank
All
you.
Right.
You take care.
Take
you
care,
Lane.
Bye-bye. All right, so how cool was that, everyone? You know, it's the small things that you can do. Whatever you have a skill in, Elaine's, you know, she likes construction. That's her thing. And she's able to share that and inspire. Just little things, little tiny itty-bitty things can go so far. And those girls, you know, what an empowering feeling on so many levels.
You listen to Elaine, listen to how excited she is and how
passion.
It affects her, how it affects her and how she deals with it. I mean, that's just, you know, who needs antidepressant pills when you have stuff like that, you know?
I don't because I have friends like that, man. They're so cool. I have such a great life.
You know, and
it's
nice to know that there's others out there that have as much passion as we do about showing the little things that you can do because people say, oh, I can't. I hear so many times, how can I make a difference? Well, if 100,000 of you that say, how can I make a difference, and 100,000 of you do one little thing,
Tiny thing.
Gets into a huge thing.
Absolutely.
And so, like Rusty said, whatever you know, your passion is or your talent or whatever it is, share it.
I don't care if it's car washing. For those of you who are connected to me on Facebook, you saw the Facebook post I did the other day about somebody who saw someone who needed tires.
Yes.
And purchased the tires for him, left him a note, go to this place, just remember one day to pay it forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
pay it
amazing.
Forward with coffee. You can buy somebody at your school, if you have children and you notice that there's a little girl or a little boy that doesn't have a winter coat, you can slip that to the principal. You don't need a thank you or a high five or it doesn't work that way.
Mm-mm.
It's little tiny things. Even if you went to the dollar store and spent $50 on the little cloth gloves
mm-hmm.
and donated that to the principal of the school, it's going to get used. It's going to get needed. And it's part of you being part of the community. So
You can contact the schools. You can contact the local churches. They all know the families that need help.
Absolutely.
My Girl Scout troop every year donates a Thanksgiving basket, and we go to the school. Who is in most need? Who can we help the most? Sometimes we pick more than one family.
Right.
We have, you know, the girls' parents are more than willing to donate the turkeys, and we give them right down the tablecloth and candles.
Yep.
You know,
whole thing.
I even bake them pies. If they don't know how to bake, I bake them for them. You know,
yeah.
But the girls being able to do that, it gives them so much joy to be able to provide that family with a Thanksgiving meal that they probably. I went into a home that their floor was dirt. They didn't even have a floor. They had no heat.
Yeah.
And I brought in steaming hot turkey and pie. They cried. The family cried.
Aww.
You know, and those are the things that
little things
that really matter.
So speaking about participating in community, the Unity Church in Rollinsford asked me to remind those of you who are local that the Oneness Blessing is Saturday night.
Yes.
So check out the website.
3:30, 4 o'clock, the doors close, so you need to get there prior to 4 o'clock.
Yep. So, and that's the Unity Church in Rollinsford, Seacoast Unity. Tomorrow night I will be interviewed on Reality Spirituality, and I believe she's out of Alberta, Canada. So check out the Facebook on that. You'll see the website. Rebecca and I will be talking about spirituality, so that'll be very exciting. It's going to be 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock Pacific. If you're not on Facebook yet to follow us, get on it. So it's facebook.com/celiacroads. And look forward to you guys chiming in on tomorrow night's topic of spirituality.
And one more, we have an open house event, Harvest Your Health at Journey to Wellness in Dover. And that's where I have my practice, but the Herbal Path is participating as well. So both stores are, the stores open in our Integrated Medical Center. So if you've ever wanted to look into holistic healing and implement that as part of your health plan and are curious, you can come in for free sessions and information, and we have free raffles and I'm actually whipping up my coconut pumpkin bisque, so healthy food suggestions for the holiday season coming up, and that will be 10 to 2 on November 17th at Journey to Wellness at 839 Central Ave in Dover.
And as always, you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
And I'm Amy.
And I love you. I adore you. I think you're beautiful. Get out there and do something little for somebody. Just makes the heart feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Until next Humpity Hump Wednesday, talk to you then and have a great week. And, you know, just keep on smiling because life's too short.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.